I'm Dom.
I'm Jamie.
Welcome back to the Cutting Room Floor. Before we get into it, guys, like and subscribe.
Yes.
And let us know what you think about what we're talking about today. We're going to do like kind of a joint episode. We're going to talk about the Oscars that just happened last week. And we're going to talk about the death of the man, Gene Hackman.
Real sad stuff, but we'll do the Oscars first, because, you know.
Well, in a way, that's real sad.
It's sad stuff. So, it's all sad. It's a sad day.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, let's say this. All right. So, let's talk about the 2025-97 Academy Awards, hosted by Conan O'Brien.
I'm
a fan of. He's a good dude.
I can honestly say I do love Conan O'Brien. Because he doesn't compromise who he is.
Facts.
And he will always be authentically himself. And he will always make you laugh. Like, just when he started out and he's like, what does he say? A complete unknown.
Yeah, that joke is funny.
A real pain. Nosferatu. Just three things I was called on the red carpet. And two of them are fair.
That was funny. I was like, really, he has some good jokes for sure.
Yes.
Yeah, he played it up well. And, you know, like I said, I love the substance intro he had. And, you know,
still your favorite movie of 2024?
Bro, has not changed.
I wasn't sure.
I think I love it more now.
Really?
That the Oscars has happened.
Wait, have you watched it more since we talked about it?
I watched it the day after the Oscars. Because now I got it on Blu-ray.
Oh, yeah, because wasn't your girl, like, dancing to
Yes. Margaret Qualley was dancing to the James Bond thing.
Yeah, I thought
so. Coming to get you again.
Always.
Dude. Always committing.
Always.
Guys, this guy's bad news.
It's what I posted about our president earlier today. It's probably what it is.
Bad news. See, they're coming to get you, dude.
Because really quick, and this is crazy, I was listening to NPR last night, and Pete Hegseth, the director of Department of Defense, so he's like a military guy, they were talking about why they ban trans people from the military, right?
And they did that?
Yeah. And that's this whole thing on NPR. Or they're in the process of doing it.
Okay.
His rationale was that in the military, like, there's three requirements for the military: honesty, integrity, and humility. And all I could think of was, like, are these people not self-aware?
Right.
So I'm like, oh, so that's why Trump never served. It wasn't bone spurs. He didn't have those three things. Or he's trans.
Or he's trans.
If they're saying, you know, that's why he never served. So that could be why we're hearing sirens.
Spurred up.
Yeah. Captain Bone Spurs.
You know, it's funny. We'll talk about him a little bit more, best actor, if we get there. But
oh, yeah, because of Stair Boy. Yeah. Winter Sebastian, Soldier.
Yep, the Winter
Bucky
Soldier.
Barnes.
Yeah. So it was, you know, as far as the ceremony goes, I thought it was decent. You know, I didn't think it was the best, but it definitely is one of the better ones in years.
It was Conan's first time hosting, right?
Yeah, first time.
So, yeah.
They'll bring him back.
And there's always going to be some bumps in the road.
Yeah, they'll probably bring him back, though.
Jimmy Kimmel said Conan did such a great job that they're going to replace him with Jay Leno next year.
Wow. That's kind of crazy.
No,
that's kind of crazy.
It's actually a great joke.
Yeah, because, I mean,
yeah.
What he did to him already.
Yeah.
I'm like, they already put it in his pooper that way.
Yeah.
Let's just do it again. Jay Leno would be a terrible Oscars host.
Oh, he would be.
In 2026.
Obviously, that's not going to happen, but it was a funny joke just to make fun of a situation from 15 years ago.
Yeah. And, like, I think Jay Leno had his time where he was, you know, funny or whatever, but now, he'd be probably one of the worst hosts in history if he did it right now.
I think he would be.
Yeah, he might be, but. You know, Conan, yeah, he did his thing. You know, I'm proud of him. They'll probably bring him back.
Look, Mark Hamill?
Mark Hamill came out. Dude. Some people came out that, you know,
yeah.
I was hyped for. Scarlett Johansson coming out with the old lady from that movie, Thelma, I really like.
Oh, her. Yeah. So, oh, and that's what you said, that Bill Skarsgård was playing her. Yeah.
That was funny. I was like, that's hilarious. I liked her in Thelma a lot. She was real good. Richard Roundtree's last movie.
Oh, really?
Know, yeah, they were together in that. Not like together.
Yeah. Friends.
But that was cute. And Scarlett Johansson was looking like $1 million. when Penelope Cruz came out.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Breath left me. You know, she.
Wow.
She still looks so freaking good. It's insane.
As it was written.
As it was written.
Isn't that her husband?
Lucky motherfucker. Yeah, that's a lucky ass dude, man. That is a lucky dude.
And look, she even dated Tom Cruise at one point in time, even though the Cruises are spelled differently.
Yeah. But, and it's crazy because, like, he got to hook up with her and Scarlett at the same time and Vicky Cristina Barcelona.
Oh, right. Javier Bardem. Wow. Yeah,
that guy. Man, I'm like, you are the man, dude.
As it was written,
for real. But,
he's like the Hispanic Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
Yeah.
I always thought they kind of looked alike.
They do got a similar look. He's probably a little bigger than him. Yeah. Javier Bardem's a pretty big dude. It's fucking terrifying, though. He's a scary motherfucker.
Yeah, I believe.
Like, in No Country, bro, Anton Chigurh is like, that dude's trippy. He trips me out, but he plays him so well. But
is that based on a true story?
I don't know if it's true. It's based on a book.
No, okay.
I don't know if that's a true story, but if it is, Jesus.
Yeah, today might just be more random because we're talking about the Oscars.
Yeah, guys, if you guys didn't catch that at all, it's kind of just, we're bullshit about the Oscars. But yeah, Halle Berry hasn't aged much.
No, not at all.
Came out looking great.
Even Adrian Brody
looking good.
For being like early 50s.
Looks great, man.
Yeah, yeah.
His speech was, let's talk about his speech real quick. Did you hear it?
Well, see, that's one of the reasons why I did my political joke, because a lot of these people, like even Daryl Hannah was like, something about Ukraine, blah, 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 Ukraine, you know. Mm-hmm. And do people really care about celebrities' political views? That's really my question. Because his speech was great about, like, you know, the industry and I guess, like, struggling and how you might not have a job later on. Mm-hmm. But then he kind of got political towards the end.
He did.
It's like,
I was like, don't.
Yeah.
I would keep my shit nice and brief. All four of Sean Baker's speeches were shorter than Adrian Brody's one.
And why does Sean Baker look and sound like Sean Hayes from Will and Grace? Jack from Will and Grace.
I'm trying to remember what he looks like.
He.
I don't really watch that show.
I'd say he was the gay guy, but there was two gay guys. Right, yeah.
Sean Baker looks young. He's like 53.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
He does look super young.
Yeah. I'm like, he's like 39, 40.
Yeah. Oldest. And I'm glad he finally said that, you know, Samantha Kwan is his wife.
Yeah.
And his producer. He's like, he's like my partner.
He always.
My
producing partner. He acts like she's like, yeah. I'm like, y'all are married, dog. I'm like,
yeah,
he acts like she's like just a strict business partner that he's with a lot.
And,
no, but he's called her his wife at times, but.
This guy.
Go to another picture. He looks goofy here. Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, he kind of looked
like that. More than that picture with the glasses.
But he sounds like him, too. And I was like,
I don't know what his voice sounds like.
It sounds just like Sean Baker.
Well, then I guess I have an idea.
Yeah.
But that's funny. But yeah, Brody's speech was a little much. It was a little bit much. I did like some of it. I didn't like some of it. But I thought it was funny when they played the Wrap It Up on him. He was like, let me go.
Yeah, this isn't my first rodeo.
This guy. I'm like, bro, you're insane.
Yeah, there's no one on stage to kiss at this point.
He was looking for Halle. He was like, she was supposed to present Best Actor.
Yeah.
He was like, well. But, and then.
Were you disappointed that he won?
No, he was who I wanted to win.
Okay, I wasn't sure because I know you love Sebastian Stan.
I did love Sebastian Stan, but I think Adrian Brody had the best performance of the year. And honestly, one of my favorite performances of the year was even nominated Daniel Craig in Queer.
Oh, yeah,
He was incredible. Very, very, you're like, this is Daniel Craig I'm watching? You're like, same Bond, no more.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was there.
And wasn't Ralph Fiennes nominated?
He was great, yeah.
Because didn't Conan say, if he loses, we can call him Ralph?
Ralph, yeah. Ralph Fiennes.
And the other thing Conan said, where instead of playing the playoff music, they would just have John Lithgow.
John Lithgow's face,
yeah. Yeah, looked disappointed.
He was just, he came clutch with that. The Adam Sandler bit was funny.
That actually was funny.
I was like, he's
yeah.
funny.
You funny. Did this.
You
not
did
me.
This. It's not your fault. It's his fault. That was funny.
And I don't normally like Adam Sandler, but
because
they're old friends, he and Conan, because like Conan was a writer on SNL and Adam Sandler would have just started. So they've known each other for almost
30, 40 years.
Yeah, in between 35 at the least.
Yeah.
It's like you can tell, especially with Conan trying not to laugh.
He was trying not to laugh for sure. He was about to burst out.
No one noticed until you pointed it out, right?
You're going to insult me in front of my peers? I was like, love that guy. That's funny. He was like, I'm going to show up real quick and bounce.
Yeah, Happy Gilmore yeah, 2 comes out in July.
I'm hyped. Yeah, that's going to be dope. But after Zoe Saldana won, did you hear what she said in an interview?
No.
So some reporter, journalist, whatever, she asked her, she was Mexican, she asked her about Emilio Perez and was like, you know, essentially, like, how do you feel that you kind of insulted the Mexican people in this movie that's about Mexico? And she basically was like, her wording could have been better, but she essentially was like, well, fuck you and your little Mexican feelings. This is a movie about four women, not about Mexico.
Really?
Yeah. And wow. I was like, Zoe, you tripping.
Well, you know what? All the tiptoeing was over because she already won.
Yep.
She had to tiptoe because of the main star, right?
Yep.
And the director, I think.
Yeah, and the director.
She's like, I'm done tiptoeing on Fabergé eggs, yep. baby.
She was like, did you see this?
Yeah.
Yeah. You'll never have one of these. And I'm like, damn. Her wording was bad. I'll send you a clip of
it. You know what? If I were her, and I'm not, obviously, but I would have been like, did you think the Guardians movies were really filmed in space? They were filmed in Georgia. Yeah. Wake the fuck up. You know, so we didn't film the film in Mexico, and it wasn't written by someone from Mexico, and it wasn't researched at all about Mexico. Guess what? James Gunn didn't research space.
He probably researched a little space.
Yeah, probably. But you know what I mean. Like, yeah, come on. Nah. He's not going to go into space and research it for Guardians.
I mean,
it's all green screen.
He should have, though. Because it's like, cause
he should have gone into space.
No, not going, for real. He should have done his research because I'm like, bro. You are kind of making these group of people look like all they are criminals and drug dealers. That's kind of what it looks like. Yes. I'm not gonna lie.
And they were.
I mean, I'm like, I'm looking at it and I'm like, bro, you only thing you've shown in Mexico.
Oh, we're talking about Emilio Perez. I was saying a Guardian.
No, Emilio Perez, he really should have his research. I'm like, you're making these people look like that's all.
So it's kind of like a propaganda film, like a MAGA propaganda film.
Like
rapists, drug dealers, criminals.
I don't know if we see any rapist in there.
I'm sorry, yes. I was doing a quote when I said that.
I don't see any of them in there. I don't think anyone gets raped in there. But I'm using that as the...
I feel like his phrase is
about those types.
Yes, yes.
I mean, I'm like, look, man, this... I'm sure Mexico is in all of this. There's some fun stuff.
Was Zoe Saldana, or however they pronounce it, Saldana. Was she playing a Mexican in the film? Because I haven't seen
it. Yeah, she's Mexican in the film.
But she's Dominican. So even then, there's plenty of Mexican actors. Look, Salma Hayek, right?
Yeah, she played... Zoe Saldana played black girls for the first like 10 years of her career.
Yeah, and then she turned green and blue.
Yeah, she turned green, and she's like, "Listen, I don't have a race anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm blue, I'm green, I'm brown, I'm everything.
Transracial? Is that what Rachel Dolezal had said? Do you remember that?
Yes, transracial.
Look, she was ahead of her time.
Yeah, I guess so. Right?
That was before all the
way before this.
Yeah, all the other trans
shit off.
Yeah, but, everyone made fun of me 10 years ago.
But I guess we'll fucking react to the winner. So we'll start. Yes. I'm on the Oscars website. We'll go in order, which I believe is alphabetical. Actor in a leading role. The winner was Adrian Brody.
Yes.
And the nominees were Chalamet for Complete Unknown, Coleman Domingo for Sing Sing, Ralph Fiennes for Conclave, and Sebastian Stan for The Apprentice. All great performances. And I wanted Brody to win, though. And he did.
Really? Out of all of them?
Chalamet was incredible. But my thing is I just didn't like Complete Unknown much, so I was rooting more for Brody. And Brody, I mean, it's just a more entertaining movie, so I just got more into the performance. If that's, you know, just to be honest. And Colman Domingo, he was good in Sing Sing. But I do think people are going a little crazy for Sing Sing. It's good, but I don't think it's that good.
He wants to be Norman Osborn in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
That's cool.
Because he's voicing him in the new Spider-Man cartoon.
Oh, then he might as well do it. He's a great actor.
Look, he's doing a great job just doing his voice. Yeah, I'll say that much.
Oh, he's sick, bro. I'm like, I couldn't believe he was gay.
Is he?
Yeah.
In real life?
Yes.
Oh, that explains the guy that was next to him.
I was with him.
Okay, all right. I was wondering, because I hate to say that, because sometimes you're like, yeah, maybe, but maybe that dude's with the person who's sitting next to him.
Yeah, okay. He just came alone.
Yeah. Or like Bradley Cooper always bringing his mom. Yeah, you know.
Yeah, that's cool. You know what I'm saying? I'm bringing Kylie Jenner.
Like Chalamet? Yeah.
You see his highlighter outfit?
Yeah, and that was great because what did Conan say about that? That he's not going to get hit on his bike or something. Something like that.
That's funny as hell. I see. Yes. That's good on the spot comedy.
Yes, yes.
That was funny.
God, I hate Chalamet's ratty ass mustache.
Yeah, I'm like, shave it or thicken it up.
Yeah, one or the other. Or at least have a little scrub as a beard instead of like the creepy.
You got the crustache, man.
Yeah, creepy pedophile mustache.
It's a little peach fuzz deal.
Yeah. You weren't a priest in Conclave.
But he is Frenchish, though. You know,
that's true. That's true.
But
Oui, oui.
Yeah. All these guys are good. Sebastian Stan was incredible as Trump. Honestly, I wouldn't have been mad at any of these winners, truthfully. They were all good. I don't think any one of them was just miles ahead of the other, in my opinion. I do love that. Me too. Yeah. And I do think the Oscars wanted to take a little stab at Donnie with that one.
Yeah.
Because he hated the movie.
Yeah, so. Well, if they really wanted to do that, they should have had Sebastian Stan win.
Yeah. they were like, well, let's not stir up too much controversy.
Yeah.
They're like, we can get away with a nomination to win.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that wasn't bad. Actor in a supporting role, we all knew who was winning, Culkin.
Yeah.
He won every, I don't think he lost anywhere all season, so that was pretty sewn up.
We do have to watch Igby Goes Down sometime.
Yeah, for sure.
Because that's one of his like early, like I'll say breakout roles after, because you know, he usually played a kid in like early John Hughes movies.
Yeah.
Like I think Home Alone and Uncle Buck.
Yep, Uncle Buck.
And so like Igby Goes Down was him carrying a film on his own because he was the main character. And it's like from 2002 maybe.
Man, he's like, I can do this.
Yeah, so that's what, 23 years ago. Yeah. So it's like,
yeah, I forget how old he is. I'm like, I guess he's older now.
Yeah, he's got to be like early
40s. Yeah,
something, which is crazy because Uncle Buck was like 35 years
ago. Yeah, I'm like, John Candy was alive.
So yeah,
was
you're right.
I love that fucking movie, though.
You're right.
Nominees were, besides Culkin, was Yura Borisov for Anora. Ed Norton for A Complete Unknown, Guy Pearce for The Brutalist, and Jeremy Strong for The Apprentice. Even though Kieran Culkin won, I thought he was great in Real Pain.
He's 42.
Okay, I was close.
You were close. This year he'll be 43.
Nice. I wanted Jeremy Strong to win for The Apprentice. I thought he was the best out of these guys. I did like Guy Pearce a lot, too.
Well, Kieran Culkin even said, like, Jeremy Strong is like his... I guess they were on Succession together.
Yeah, Succession.
Yeah, but it's like... That's actually really cool to say. And even Downey Jr. was like, he camped out when I won my Academy Award back in 92 or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jeremy Strong was incredible in The Apprentice. Like, Stan was good, but I got to say Strong was better.
Really?
Yeah, I think he kind of made the film. I'm not going to say he stole the show, but he definitely was stealing the scenes.
Yeah.
And I was like, it's very apparent very early on, like at first, because you see him right away. It don't take a while to come in. Like they meet pretty much. The movie pretty much starts with them meeting.
Okay.
So
he's Roy Cohn. Right?
Yeah, he's Roy Cohn, and you're like, who's this eccentric, interesting ass dude playing this role? I don't know shit about Roy Cohn, but I'm like, this dude's making me interested in him.
Yeah.
Because the way he's playing so well, so I'm like, that's cool. That's what I wanted to win. But I knew, we all knew it was Karen, so whatever. Actress in a leading role. Okay, we already, all right. The wounds were starting to heal, and now that I just read it and I see winner and the name under it, makes me sick. All right, guys, you already know, if y'all watch this, y'all watched our substance video. If you heard me talk about anything from this past year, you've heard me talk about the substance. All right. I made a 45-minute video on my own channel talking about
it. You did. It. We need to talk about the substance is we what need, it's called. Yep.
We need it.
Yes.
Too. I've seen it around 11 or 12 times.
Wow, really?
Yeah, it's pretty nuts, bro.
Believe it or not, there's a nurse I work with. I suggested it to her because I'm like, dude, my friend Dom just loves this movie.
Yeah,
he's watched it so many times.
She's probably like, what the fuck is wrong with this guy?
She watched it, right? And she was telling me, I think it was like 2 weeks ago, she's like, Jamie, I watched that movie. And I'm like, what movie were we talking about?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Weekend at Bernie's? Like, I can't remember. Because we were talking about that one day. Because somebody was watching it. Because I heard it in their room. And I was like, I heard the music. I was like, someone's watching Weekend at Bernie's.
That's your shit.
My Weekend at Bernie's sense is tingling. You know, I hear Jermaine Stewart, you know. And it's like, she was telling me, she's like, it was a weird cross between like, Alien and like Carrie,
and Carrie vibes.
And something else, and I was like, yeah, that's what it is.
The fly.
And we were laughing because of the end, you know, like,
yeah,
it's me,
yeah. Oh, remember. And the titty drops, yeah, out the face.
Yes. Like, we were actually laughing about it, and then I realized she's a very nice, wholesome woman. I'm like, I forgot to warn you about all the nudity.
All the nudity and craziness.
Yes. And she's like, no, that was okay. I'm like, all right, you are a nurse.
You are a nurse. She's got some titties.
And it's not like it was like sexual.
Yeah. There's like barely any. You see her hook up with the dude for like 2 seconds.
Yeah. It wasn't that. It was just the body horror stuff. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This movie needs sex to sell it.
But we then talked about, you know, how it's about women and how society.
Yes.
Yes.
It's just so well written, so well directed, so well acted.
Yes.
And
look, even that makeup, when they were showing the makeup Oscar, and they were showing them put like the old makeup on Demi, I was like, whoa.
And I'm like, y'all see what this woman was doing with them heavy ass prosthetics and shit on?
Yeah.
Come on, she was going stupid. Bro, the cooking scene.
Oh my God, yes.
Here's your little beauty secret. Like, she was funny. She was dramatic. She was horrifying. She was tough. She made you feel every emotion you can feel from anything. And I'm like, and she did that with a fraction of the screen time that Mikey Madison had in Anora.
Yeah.
And yes, I get it. If you love Anora, then sure, I guess Mikey Madison would probably be a pick because damn girl's in the whole fucking movie.
Yeah.
So, but Mikey Madison didn't do a damn thing to capture me like Demi Moore did. In the substance.
Yeah.
Just the getting ready scene, just those faces she's making in the mirror.
Oh,
the way she, bro.
Yeah, with the lipstick and everything. Yes,
like, like that, bro. I know so many women that are like, related to that scene.
It's more
so
psychological. Like, yeah. Like you actually get into her head.
Yes. I'm like, damn, bro, I feel like, and she's looking at Sue in the closet, and you're like, girl, just get ready and go. It's okay. And you know, we know you look incredible. If I, bro, she's 62 years old. If I pulled up on a blind date and that woman walked in, I'd be like, let's go.
I wonder if, like, that's also sort of, I don't know if I said this when we were talking about it before. Like, Karen Carpenter had, like, you know, anorexia and I guess bulimia issues.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if that's kind of like the film equivalent of like the psychological things that are going on in your head.
Absolutely. Bro, you have to have that going on in your head to take the substance anyway.
Yeah, that's like, true. You're
like, bro, like, listen, there's as much as I would love to have a younger version of me in the next, you know, 15 or 20 years, 30 years, even 30 years, because then, bro, I'm not going to do that shit. First of all, I don't want my back split open.
That's true. Yeah.
I'm like, cuz, you told me my back, I gotta essentially give birth. Men don't usually do that.
Although the one dude in the movie did. the old guy, who was also the nurse who told her about it, remember? Cause
he did. Yeah.
They don't show it,
but we know it. Yeah, it's funny though, because
it's the juxtaposition between like Dennis Quaid, like, eating those shrimp.
Oh, my Lord.
The most disgusting part of the movie.
Probably the grossest part of the film. Yeah. And the sound. I don't know how I didn't get nominated for best sound, because the sound when he's eating the shrimp with...
And the music, too.
The music, the score. I was like, yo, the score is great. It fucking flows with this movie. It keeps it rolling. Mm-hmm. It's like... But, dude, when she's wearing the Catwoman suit and homie's gripping on that ass, you hear him feel that texture of of the suit. And when Sue's drinking the Diet Coke, you hear her open the can, you hear that fucking fizz. Everyone knows that sound.
Yeah.
And they amplify it, and it's like, you feel that shit. That shit, it's visceral. It grabs you.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know how this wasn't up for best sound, but whatever. I'm like, here's the thing. Let's keep it real. When The Substance first came out, no one thought it was getting nominated for a damn thing. Yeah. It's a body horror film with a shit ton of nudity, and it's definitely an art house film.
Yes, definitely.
And I'm like, I remember you, and it's, I got to thank you, because you were like, yo, here's The Substance, you know.
Dude, I heard it on NPR, and A Different Man.
Yeah, I love both of them, and they're essentially a very similar movie. Just a man and a woman version. The Substance is better, but A Different Man is great too. And I'm like, all right, and like, you know, let me go ahead and watch this shit. I've been hearing people talk about it, and I was like, wow, that's not what I thought I was about to see. I was like, holy shit. I was like, dude, just the look of it, the style, everything. I was just fucking way heavy. And I'm like,
so much blood.
So much blood. A lot. In a short amount of time.
Yes, yes.
But what Demi Moore and Margaret Qualley did, what Coralie Farja did with them characters, very minimal dialogue. And that's where I think Demi shines. We had to listen to Mikey Madison's ass scream and holler and act a fool. That shit was driving me crazy. On the third watch for Nora, I was like, okay, I'm sick of her. I'm sick of her. I was just like, the movie's fine. It's a good movie. Don't get me wrong. And I'll get into that when we get to some of Nora Wynn's. But Mikey Madison was starting to get on my... By the end of the movie, I was like, I am done with this damn girl. But I did, like I said, the last about 20 minutes from when they get back to Vanya's house in New York, and her and Igor hang out, smoke that blunt, and talk and chill, and then, you know, to when he drops her back off. I do think she was very good in those two scenes.
But it's probably more because of him.
He elevates her in it.
Yeah.
And, you know, and he gets his Oscar nom, which I'm not mad at.
I was shocked. I was surprised and happy.
I was happy for him. I was. Yeah. I'm like, that's cool. He's getting a shot. You know, I might have subbed some other people in over him, but actually, no. I would keep him in. I boot out Edward Norton. That's just my opinion, and I'd sub in someone else. I'd sub in Jack O'Connor from Challengers, but that's just me.
I know you love Challengers.
Challengers is fucking amazing. The fact that it's not on any of this is absolutely insane. It should be, bro, I'm going to keep it real quick. Challengers should be in Best Picture, Best Original Screenplay, Best Director. Yeah, I said it. Him and Denis Villeneuve should have been in, especially over Edward Berger and Jacques Odiard. I don't care. And Edward Berger possibly should have been in too for Conclave, but whatever. And it should have been in Best Score, because that Challenger score is incredible. It should have been in Best Editing as well. And I wouldn't be mad if they gave Zendaya a Best Actress role or nom. I wouldn't even be mad about it. Challenger is good. You should watch it. But Mikey Madison, back to her.
Yeah.
I'm not saying she was bad. She played the role well, especially on the getting the stripping down. She was stripping. She looked like a stripper. But I can see stripping on TikTok, on Instagram, all day, every day.
Dude,
better than that.
I can see it looking up comic books online. Pop-ups just come up, and I'm like, what?
Like, what? It's a strip all day long, brother. She's not doing anything that any other girl her age bracket could learn to do and do well. Just like the same thing with Lily Rose Depp. Everyone's slurping her off for Nosferatu. Sorry, but everyone is on her nuts for that. And I'm like, it's
her ovaries.
They're on her O's for that. And I'm like, that's fine if you like it, but you can't. You're not going to convince me that she's the only person that could have pulled this off.
Well, no, because we talked about it. Obviously, yeah,
we named 6, 7, 8 chicks that could have did it.
Yeah.
And those same 6, 7, 8 chicks could have played Mikey Madison's role.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
For real, like, Saoirse Ronan probably isn't to the general public pretty enough to play it, but she would have murdered this over Mikey Madison, bro.
What about Margaret Qualley?
Margaret Qualley would have been better, I think. Oh, I'm biased on her, though. I've loved her since Once Upon a Time. You know, everything. She's been in Yorgos movies. You know, she had that small role in Poor Things. She had a big role in Kinds of Kindness. Excuse me, in Kinds of Kindness. And I really enjoyed her and everything I've seen her in. Mikey Madison, we got a small sample size. Make this make sense. Mikey Madison has an Oscar before Timothy Chalamet. She has an Oscar before Saoirse Ronan. Florence Pugh.
It doesn't
make sense.
It's
a little crazy, right?
Yes.
That's a little nuts. Like, it is nuts. Like, and not, it's just, it's the luck of the draw. It happens like that sometimes.
It's, like, it actually reminds me of something I saw on the book face. It was something like, if you're well-versed in English, then start a sentence with them.
Interesting.
And I'm probably the only person who could do it, because it would, the sentence would be something like, "Them is an old 50s sci-fi film that I once saw."
Is it really?
Yeah,
is
I think
it
it's
good?
About giant ants.
Oh.
Yeah, it's one of those, because, you know, they were doing, like, giant insect movies back then. That was all the
That
beef.
Was, that
they,
was.
Yeah, all the rage.
Thing
once they realized how to do the special effects for it.
They're like, yeah.
Yeah. All right, here we go. Like, around the time that, like, Japan was doing Godzilla, we were doing, like, giant insects.
Okay.
Yeah. But it's, I guess it's 1950s B-movie. So, for the time, maybe.
Okay.
It's not going to win any Oscars.
It, probably not. But, I didn't see it on no list.
But a lot of people like wouldn't be able to do that. So the only people that can rationalize her winning over them are probably rare. That's all. That was the point of that whole exchange.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because it doesn't make any sense. It's Timothy Chalamet, what we've seen, even just his Dune stuff.
Yeah, it's great. That's what I'm like, bro. His Dune 2 performances. Really?
And you said even Wonka. I mean,
oh, I love Wonka.
I know
I
you
love
do.
Him in it.
And I'm not saying that ironically either.
He's just so multi-talented. Singing, dancing, playing guitar, acting, like accents, languages.
Yeah.
I'm like, bro, you are a fucking talented ass dude. I can't.
Yeah.
I can't hold him. That kid is going to win multiple Oscars. And when he does, it's going to be highly celebrated, and it's going to be a landslide definitive win. Like, no, it's not going to. It's going to be like when Killian Murphy won last year.
Oh yeah,
no
yeah,
one thought he
know.
Wasn't winning.
Yeah, everyone
knew he was winning. So he's going to have that kind of moment, and I'm happy for him. I've been a Chalamet fan since I first seen him. You know, like,
did you what? Call Me by Your Name or something?
Actually, Interstellar.
Oh really?
He's got a small role in Interstellar, but Call Me by Your Name was the one where I was like, this kid is good. And I was like, man, you're going toe-to-toe with Armie Hammer, who is a good actor.
He is, and he's really proved himself outside of, like, his family lineage.
Yeah, yeah.
So
I'm like, Armie Hammer can act, bro. Like, don't get it twisted. But, yeah, I was – so if you guys haven't gathered, I was upset about Mikey Madison win. And Demi was there looking like a million freaking bucks, dude.
Yeah.
She was, her face, come on, y'all. When they showed, when she turned away, I was like, oh my God, no. I was like, not Debbie, no.
I was like, she got the Golden Globe, so you just assumed, I think, that she, maybe.
Bro, but she lost BAFTA, and that's what everyone put the stock in.
Oh, Mikey really?
Won. That's all Mikey really won was BAFTA, and Independent Spirit Award. I don't give a shit about that.
Wow.
But, like, not in a bad way, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It ain't
as
one of the
as
big
far as, like,
players.
The bets on the
Yeah, it ain't one of the big players.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm like, damn, man, because Demi won the SAG, the Choice, and the fucking Globe, and lost the Oscar. Bro.
I can't believe she won the SAG, because she wasn't sagging at all.
No, she was not. And, like, don't get me wrong, Mikey Madison was very appreciative, and her speech was good, and all that. Not mad at the girl, it's not her fault. It's like Taylor Swift right now. Everyone's like, fuck Taylor Swift. I'm like, it's not her fault that NFL is capitalizing on her.
Yeah, like, yeah, but the thing is, like, she's a self-made billionaire. And why are you upset?
She's living her life.
Yeah.
Yeah, like,
it's not your fault that people, or it's not her fault people pay to see her in concert.
Yeah.
And made her a shit ton of money.
Yeah. And she's dating a football player. So
yeah.
She goes, she's like, damn, I can't go to a game because I have to fear that they're going to show me too much and the little fans are going to get mad. Like, it is what it is.
I'm yeah.
Like,
I mean,
do I want to see her the whole game? No. But Am I mad at her about it? No.
Are you a Chiefs fan?
Hell no.
Oh, wait, so are you thinking about like when you have to see
when I have to playoffs, watch the Chiefs? Yeah,
and,
playoffs
and Super
yeah.
Bowl. Yeah, okay.
I'm like, they did a good job in the Super Bowl keeping the Swift shit to a minimal. Well, they did the Super Bowl well. That was the best Chiefs game I've watched in a long time.
Is that because they lost?
Yeah.
Okay, I understand.
That
I understand.
And it was actually a smooth game for the most part, yeah. Officiating wise and things like that.
Oh yeah, because a lot of people. Man. Or get upset with the officials.
Yeah, man. It's been rough lately. But you know, watching the Eagles beat the living shit out of the Chiefs was fucking great. But the nominees for Best Leading Actress, I went on a fucking tangent.
Yeah, sorry.
Was Mikey Madison was our winner for Anora. Cynthia Erivo for Wicked, who was incredible.
She was, yeah.
Yeah, I loved her. Carlos Sofia Gascon for Emilia Perez, who, I'm going to be honest, she's not bad in the movie. She's actually pretty good. Like, yeah. she did what she was supposed to do. She wasn't bad. She is not one of the reasons the movie isn't good, I'll be honest. Demi Moore for The Substance, which absolutely, that's where my heart lies. And Fernando Torres for I'm Still Here, which is the one fucking movie on here I haven't
seen. I don't even know if it's around here to watch.
Yo, bro, I said Delaware was the closest place.
Yeah, oh yes, yeah.
And I know she's incredible, dude. I've seen the clips. I'm like, this woman is giving it. I'm like, I know she is.
And that's probably
the best performance of the year.
And it's based on a true story, right?
I think so.
That's what the director was saying.
That's crazy. But Brazil has an Oscar now, so I'm happy for them.
Yeah.
I know if Fernando Torres would have won, I wouldn't be mad. I wouldn't be as mad.
No, yeah.
Because I know she would have deserved it. I know that'd be a deserving. I just, in my opinion, and I know a lot of y'all are going to disagree with me, and that's totally fine. So my opinion, Demi Moore is better than Mikey Madison in a smaller time frame.
So you mean like someone who's been acting for like 10 years and has mostly been on TV doesn't deserve an Oscar?
Not in this situation. I would have just not picked her. And it's crazy. They couldn't even do the vanity deal and give Demi the vanity Oscar like they did for fucking Jamie Lee.
Oh, yeah.
But no, we couldn't give Demi Moore one. She's a popcorn actress. I'm like, this bitch killed it in The Substance.
She did. Well, now she'll be in something that has as much gravitas.
I hope, but like,
because she can't redo it.
Lifetime, this is lighting the bottle, dude.
Yeah, you can't capture that again. Maybe the writer director will do something else with it.
Maybe, that'd be dope. Coralie, like her a lot, man. She's killing. All right, actress in a supporting role winner was Zoe Saldana for Meg Perez. We knew that was happening. She won all season. Nominees: Monica Barbaro for Complete Unknown, Ariana for Wicked. Felicity Jones for The Brutalist and Isabella Rossellini for Conclave. I actually like all these performances for the most part. Monica Barbaro, I think that performance is a little overrated. She was fine, but I don't know. She didn't make me care about Joan Baez at all.
Yeah.
Zoe was good. She is the best part of the movie, but she ain't got shit on Ariana and Wicked, dude.
Yeah.
Ariana would be my pick for the one she was in.
However she would stand. Yeah. Put her hair back. Yeah.
I'm like, I knew she would be good at it. I was like, she's at least going to be good at the singing and dancing. I was like, so at the very least, she'll be good at that. But when the acting was where I was shocked, she was funny. She brought the emotion.
Yeah.
She really was the best part of that movie, in my opinion. And Cynthia Erivo was great, too.
I think John M. Chu, it shows his ability as a director.
Man, he really... What else did he direct?
Crazy Rich Asians.
Oh, shit, he's good.
Yeah, he's incredible.
Okay.
He's done some other films, but just think about what he was able to do with Crazy Rich Asians.
That's a really good one.
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah, well, wow.
I think he's also done some comedy specials. He may have done, like, a Ken Jeong one, since Ken Jeong was in Crazy Rich Asians.
Boy.
But, you know, he's done other films as well, but... Crazy Rich Asians is the one that people are like, oh, John M. Chu is a great director.
That movie's fire, man. Yeah. I love that. It actually made me sort of want to read the book.
Yeah,
just a little bit. Yeah.
Was it Kevin Kwan, I think, wrote him?
Sure.
I think Cora's read him.
We talked about it.
Yeah.
She said it's actually a pretty decent adaptation.
And look, whenever you can see, like, Michelle Yeoh and anything, just watch her.
Bro, Gemma Chen is in that
movie. Oh, yeah. She is.
That's a nice little...
Awkwafina?
I love Awkwafina. I love her. She's hilarious, but... Ooh, Gemma Chen.
Yeah.
That one was fun.
She was in The Eternals.
Is she? I didn't watch that.
Me either.
She was in The Creator.
Well, I watched half of it.
Oh, okay.
I couldn't get through it.
Long.
Yeah.
She was in The Creator with Denzel's son.
Oh, yeah.
That actually was John pretty David. Decent. Yeah, he's yeah. good. But I thought Felicity Jones was absolutely incredible as well. I love her. She was looking good, too, at the Oscars. I was like, oh, girl, you're killing it.
Oh, she was in The Brutalist, right? Mm-hmm.
She was great in there. And, of course, Rossellini.
Oh, yeah.
She killed in that little bit of time.
Oh, bro. Yeah.
Like, that's a – back in the day, that would have won.
Oh, yeah.
This was, like, in the 60s. That would have won. But that's in the 60s, a real supporting role.
In the 60s, it would have been her mom playing it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It would have been Ingrid. Ingrid would have won in the 60s for this role.
Yeah.
She actually might have been a little bit too young. It would have to be the 70s.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe like later 70s. Cause like,
but either way, you know.
She looks great, though. Like Rossellini.
Yeah.
Like 70 plus. She looks good. She was looking fresh. And how about... We got that whack ass David Lynch little on screen tribute. You got Rossellini and Laura Dern sitting one row from each other, right behind each other.
Yes.
Let them come up and talk about Lynch. Lynch is one of the best of all time. Like,
yes.
He didn't deserve. Hackman got a speaking tribute, but he couldn't get a little one. That's kind of crazy, bro.
That is.
They were definitely the biggest two we lost recently.
It's probably because people are still salty about Dune.
Man,
84.
It was before I was born. Guys. I know,
it was 41 years ago.
I'm over it already, and I had to sit through that. I couldn't believe I had to sit through that. I was like, I couldn't believe how bad. I mean, I knew I heard it was bad. Fuck, it was bad. Like it was bad, man. It was gross too. I was like, it's bad and gross.
Yeah.
Animated feature film. I was so happy.
Because you do love Flo.
I love Flo so much. I gave Flo 5 stars on Letterboxd. It is an incredible film. Beautiful film. Animation on 1,000. No words. No dialogue. And you feel everything these animals are going through. You know exactly what they're saying to each other when they're saying it.
Yeah.
I was narrating it as I went along. I named all the animals.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I named them all.
Wow.
And for anyone who watched and seen Flo, I'll tell you what I named them all really fast. So, Flo, the cat, I just called her Flo. I don't know if it was a guy or girl, but I just left that at Flo. That was cute. But the dog called him Lucky. He was happy-go-lucky. So, he was. So, he called him Lucky. The capybara called him Chunks. He was a chunky guy. You know what I mean? He was. He liked to eat. The fucking lemur... He liked to steal stuff, so I called him Stuff. And he collected stuff. He loved his stuff, so I called him Stuff.
Wow.
And then the outcast bird who gets beat up by his... Oh, shit. Let me not spoil the movie for anybody who hasn't seen it. But the bird, he gets outcasted by his group. Because he was an outcast, I called him Andre 3000. So I called him 3K.
Wow. I mean,
so that's what I named them all. So I named all the homies.
Well, you could have called Chunk Big Boy.
I could, right? Dude, that would
have
been perfect.
They have Andre 3000 and Big Boy.
Outcasts.
Yes. Yeah,
that's a great idea. Maybe I'll change his name.
Next time you watch it.
Yep, he'll be. That's perfect. That's hilarious. But the nominees were Flo, Inside Out 2, Memoir of a Snail, Wallace and Gromit, Vengeance Most Foul, and The Wild Robot. I've seen all these, and I liked all these. I actually loved The Wild Robot, too. It was very good. But I'm sorry. Flo blew me away. I didn't think it was going to win. I predicted Wild Robot to win.
It won the Golden Globe, didn't it?
Flo did.
Yeah, Flo.
Yeah.
Oh, you're talking about The Wild Robot.
Yeah, The Wild Robot.
Sorry.
I thought they were going to win the Oscar.
I'm just because they got
nommed in multiple categories.
Yeah.
Sound and score. So I'm like, oh, they're fucking with Wild Robot. So, but Flo was also an international feature. So
it was, yes.
So, I got a little lumpy, but all these are good. Inside Out 2 was great. Memoir of a Snail, it's okay. It's good. If you've never seen another movie from this director, you'll think it's incredible. But if you have, you won't, because they're very, very too similar. He needs to switch some things up.
Mm.
Wallace and Gromit was good.
They're always good.
Yeah. Not as good as, like, it ain't the Were-Rabbit, but it's still good. That's the best one.
What was the first one they did? Like, The Wrong Trousers or
something like that?
Yeah.
That was good. But animated short, I mean, I ain't really seen these, so we don't need to talk about them. I know you ain't seen them.
Yeah, not yet.
Winner in the Shadow of the Cypress. And the nominees were The Beautiful Men, Magic Candies, Wonder to Wonder, and Yuck. I predicted Yuck to win because that's just what the chatter was pointing to.
Yeah.
I was wrong. So,
in The Shadow of the Cypress, there was – it might have been them, Were they the ones who were like...
They flew in late?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so, that was them.
So NPR was talking last week when I was coming home from work after the Oscars. They were talking how, like, it was the BBC World News. Mm-hmm. And one thing is the guy kept talking about Sean Baker, and he kept talking about Sean Baker films, and he only mentioned the ones we watched.
Nice, because those are the best ones.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Those are the only Sean Baker films he mentioned. And I was like, we covered all of them.
Yeah.
But he was saying how, I guess their visas were revoked, and they were trying to get them back, and they got them back just in time. So they changed in, like, the BBC's bathroom or something.
That's crazy.
And then went right into the theater.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
And then you came out one. You're, like, still out of breath, and you got to go up and accept an award.
Hey, good thing I just came out of the bathroom. Yeah, right? I was shitting myself.
Yeah, that's crazy, bro. That was cool. I was like, hey, I'm glad they won. I didn't really give a shit. I didn't watch some of them.
Yeah.
But I will. I think some of them are on, I think they're all on YouTube.
Okay. I was going to ask where they are, because some of these categories, I'm like, where are these, like even, like, the short live action ones, where are they?
Some of the, one of them's on, I think two of them are on Netflix.
Okay.
But I think all the animated shorts are on the two. Cinematography, winner was The Brutalist, I did predict that. The nominees were Dune 2,
Lily
Perez, Maria, and Nosferatu. If I was picking out of these... I actually picked Maria. I absolutely love that movie.
That's that Angelina Jolie movie, right?
Yep, yeah, I loved it, loved her in it, was hoping she would possibly get a nom, but people just didn't take to Maria like I did. And that's okay. It's a nom movie. But no challengers here, no substance here. Big slap to the face.
Yeah, yeah.
We did not need Maria, or not, challengers. The subs, not for the cinematography, sorry, but challengers. I think could have won in here. We did not need Maria, or not Maria, Lily Perez, sorry, in here. Nosferatu definitely deserved this nom. Cinematography is one of the best parts of
the movie. Oh, yeah, so yeah. Like, that's the one where Willem Dafoe was talking about it, right?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. How romantic it was showing the vampire's naked body.
Naked body.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's the best. It's nice and
skinny.
And it looks like he's dying.
Mucho caliente.
Yeah. Shout out to Bruce. This is a good score. Costume design, the winner was Wicked. I think we all
knew
I was going to win. Yeah, it deserved it.
And Bowen Yang talking about his alleged career.
Yeah, yeah.
Bowen Yang is funny. He's great.
That was funny.
He's one of the best parts of SNL the past couple of years.
That's crazy.
Besides Kenan Thompson just always being
incredible. I'm like, he's been around forever now.
Yeah, 20-some years on there now.
Damn. Yeah. It's a nice steady check for him.
Yeah.
The nominees were Complete Unknown, Conclave, Gladiator, and Nosferatu. All good costuming. Everybody's costuming was good. I love Denzel's fits and Gladiator, too. But I would have probably picked Wicked or Conclave.
Connie Nielsen was looking good from Gladiator.
She looked nice.
I'm like, wow, she's aged well.
Yeah, she is.
I mean, she looked great as Wonder Woman's mom in Wonder Woman and the Justice League movies, but it's like...
He's holding it up.
Yeah,
she's gotta be 50 something, right?
It's been 25 years since Gladiator.
Yeah,
so
she's gotta be like 50 something.
Yeah,
really, even a little older.
Yeah,
like maybe like later 50s. Definitely 50s. Yeah, I would say 50s. But yeah, she was looking good. Complete unknown, good costumes. But yeah, Conclave Wicked with my picks.
Yeah, Conclave was incredible.
The robes.
Yes. Yeah, the Cossacks, as he says.
I love it.
Yeah.
Big category, directing. We all know Mr. Baker won for Anora. And listen, guys.
You love Sean Baker.
I love Sean Baker. I don't love Anora, but I love Sean Baker.
And the crazy thing is, when you heard about this movie, you were over the moon.
I was, and that's a part of the problem lately. And I've been doing this shit to myself, and I need to stop. Guys, let me tell you something. I went into Anora thing and I was about to watch possibly the best movie ever made. I'm not fucking kidding. I was like, this is probably going to be the best movie I've ever seen. I went into Anora way, way too. My expectations were way too high. It's not fair to the film. But it is what it is. And I wanted it. I just wanted to connect with it. I wanted it to hit me like his other films have. Like The Florida Project punched me in my face. Red Rocket punched me in my gut. Tangerine tickled me in my gut. Because I just couldn't stop laughing at fucking Cindy. She was so damn funny.
Yeah.
You know, even Starlet, one of his older films. That movie even touches me in places, you know, above the belt. And Nora just didn't hit me, man. It didn't punch me. It didn't slap me. I mean, by the end, I was like, okay, I understand it. I get it. I got it. I got the message. It just, I don't know. It just didn't slap. It was fun. It's a fun movie. I like it. I think the direction is good. But he shouldn't have won over Brady Corbet. What that man did in The Brutalist was crazy. And that's out of these nominees.
Yeah.
And that's his, and the nominees are Brady Corbet for The Brutalist, James Mangold for The Complete Unknown should not be here. Emilia Perez, Jacques Odiar should not be here. And Coralie Farge to The Substance absolutely should be here. She was great. And I'm so glad they just gave her a nom. That was the win for The Substance. Just getting nom for that in Best Picture, that was a win. So, but we all know Denis Villeneuve honestly probably should have won.
Though. Oh, yeah,
like,
definitely.
You know how hard it is to make a movie like Dune 2, bro? Yeah. Like, are you kidding? Like, that's a feat, dude. That's a feat. And so is The Brutalist. That's also a feat. And it's like my only justification if I maybe want to say Brady over to me, it's just because we don't get movies like The Brutalist every year.
Yeah.
Last movie we got like The Brutalist was literally 2007, and that's There Will Be Blood.
Oh.
So it is what it is. Sean Baker won. It's a good night for indies. This is a huge night for indies, and that's the plus about the Sonora shit. Indies are going to be taken way more serious. Indies are going to get bigger budgets. And so these indie art house minded directors that are very creative and know how to stretch a dollar, they're going to have dollars to really blow their imagination out the water. Right? That's going to be awesome.
Well, didn't we think that after Everything Everywhere All at Once also?
We did think that.
Yeah.
That was...
So if they're still saying it like 3 years later...
I'm going to keep it real. Everything Everywhere... I don't even know if you can call that an indie. That's just, it's its own.
But on its budget. Its budget
was crazy. Like, what was it, 25 million or something?
I think so,
That's insane.
Yeah, for what they did.
And Brady Corbet made The Brutalist for 10 million. Really? That's insane. When you see it, you'll be like, well, this looks like a $70 million movie.
Yeah.
It's insane.
And I know Anora, Sean Baker said $6 million. Yeah.
Cheap. And Anora don't look too expensive. The Brutalist is like, I mean, not saying, no, it doesn't look cheap. It looks good. But it's like, you can see, that's a reasonable.
Feels
like $6 million reasonable.
But it's about like a dirtier side of society. So it's not going to be as polished anyway.
Yeah, exactly. But like, the fact that he made The Brutalist for $10 million is crazy. I'm like, all this big ass shit and all this, I'm like, you got all kinds of stuff. I'm like, shit, all looks expensive. But, I mean, Anora winning is huge. It's huge. It's big. And I'm happy Sean Baker's finally getting his flowers. I just wish it was for something I connected with a little more. He should have been here for Red Rocket.
Yeah.
And everyone thought that year, like, he was going to get nommed, and they fucking overlooked him.
Wow.
Documentary feature film. The winner was No Other Land. Nominees were Black Box Diaries, Porcelain War, soundtrack to A Coup d'Etat, and Sugarcane. Ain't seen none of them. You seen any of these?
No.
Well, congrats, No Other Land.
Yeah.
I predicted, I did predict No Other Land to win, so I did get that right. Documentary short film, winner was Only Girl in the Orchestra, which I did predict.
Oh, yes, yeah.
That's on Netflix, I'm pretty sure. The nominees were Death by Numbers, I'm Ready, Warden, Incident, and Instruments of a Beating Heart. I ain't seen none of these. You seen any of these?
No. That's what I was watching. It like, where are these things?
Yeah, like, some of these are on Netflix, I think. Some of them might be on YouTube, but they're around. Congrats, Only Girl in the Orchestra. Film editing. This was one of the worst winners of the night. The winner was Sean Baker for Anora. Anora is not well edited. It's not poorly edited, but it's not a stand. There's nothing in the editing where you're like, man, who edited this shit? No, it's very standard editing. And, you know, he came up and I know he kind of defended himself in his speech because I know he knows people are going to be like, did he really just win for that?
Yeah.
Because he immediately was like, guys, trust me, if you saw Anora before I edited it, it was awful.
Oh, you know? I think that was a joke, though, about like making fun of the director because the editors usually take credit for it.
Yeah, it could have been, but I also like, think he knew.
He's like, as the editor, I really saved this movie.
Yeah, he's like, I saved it. I'm like, I don't know. I'm
but
like,
he would have edited it in the way that he wanted anyway.
Yeah, he wanted it anyway. He would have shot it because you know how you're going to edit it while you're shooting it. If you're the editor, so
Kevin Smith edits his films too.
Yes, you all.
And Steven Soderbergh,
and that's why he can crank them out fast because he knows already. He's like, I know how I'm gonna shoot it. I know how I'm gonna edit it. He makes his movies pretty quick.
He does.
So I'm like, that can happen. Like, Nora's not terrible. It ain't great. Nominees were The Brutalist, Conclave, Emilia Perez, and Wicked. I think everybody thought it was going towards Conclave. And I think they should have won. Or The Brutalist, because even though The Brutalist is 3.5 hours, man, that shit flies by. It flies by, and it's got some cool tricks in it. Same thing with Conclave. Bro, Conclave is a concise 1 hour and 58 minutes until credits, and it's a perfect runtime.
Yeah.
It doesn't overstay its welcome. It moves the story along so nicely. Like, every 10 minutes, the story gets moved along nicely. It looks great. I think Conclave is definitely a good winner. Same with Wicked. Wicked is brilliantly edited as well. I honestly think any of these would have been, even Emilia Perez. I'm not kidding. And that's no knock on Sean Baker, the editing of Nora. Emilia Perez just has more editing in it.
Yeah.
It's probably the most edited movie out of all.
Yeah, and you got to think of like however many cuts it is and how they flow. Like, yeah, you're right. If it's like a long shot, and there's not much editing to it, how are you winning?
And Sean Baker's a lot of long takes in this.
Yeah.
And that just shows your your directing skills more than your editing skills.
Yeah,
so I'm like, I respect you more for your direction there than your editing. But Emilia Perez has the most editing of all these. It's got a lot of little cuts and tricks and shit in it. And even though I don't like the movie, it's not boring. It flows. It moves. It's just like, what the fuck? You know, but it moves. You're never at any point like, at least for me, I was never like, this shit needs hurting. I was very interested to see where it was going to go. Because I was like, this shit's getting a little ridiculous. So I wanted to see. I was curious. But so I'm like, Emilia Perez is better at it. I'm sorry. But I would pick Conclave. International feature, the winner. I'm still here. Happy for them.
Yeah.
Brazil was champion this film. Shout out to Fernanda Torres because her performance got this in.
Oh, yeah. Because they kept showing her. Yeah.
This got it in. Nominees were Denmark with the girl with the needle.
I'll be right back. If you want to keep talking,
I'll let them know.
Yeah,
Emilia Perez coming out of France, Germany, the seed of the sacred fig, and Latvia, Flow. As y'all know, I was a huge fan of Flow, and I haven't seen I'm Still Here, but I know in my heart that I'm Still Here probably deserves to win this. Fernanda, she apparently did a great job and got this movie into Best Picture and an international feature and herself into Best Actress. And that's incredible, man. I cannot wait to see it. I cannot wait to see her in it. I know a lot of people did like The Seed of the Sacred Fig as well. I love Flo, and I did predict I'm Still Here to win. I know a lot of people thought Emilia Perez was going to win this, but man, I think the controversy really did soil Emilia Perez because I think we'd be talking about Emilia. If all that stuff didn't happen, Emilia Perez would have won this category, and it likely would have won Best Picture, man, which is crazy. International feature, good category this year, I think. Makeup and hairstyling. The winner was The Substance, which was a very deserving winner. And the nominees were A Different Man, Emilia Perez, Nosferatu, Wicked, which all of these were very worthy nominees for this prize. I mean, well, say what you want about Emilia Perez, the makeup and the hairstyling is done well. That would be at the bottom of my list just because it's the least impressive out of these. The Substance has a lot of cool prosthetics and stuff. Different Man, I mean, obviously, that makeup is crazy. Nosferatu, that makeup is insane. And Wicked, you know, Cynthia Erivo's green and looks green, you know. So I think this was, you know, it was always The Substance. It was winning all season. But, I mean, any of these, you know, pretty could have been deserving in one way or another. I don't think it would have been bad. But this winning in makeup, I was hoping they were going to pair this with a Demi Moore win for Best Actress. But they didn't. Music original score, the winner was The Brutalist. And I knew that I was going to want to predict that. Nominees were Conclave, Emilia Perez, Wicked, and The Wild Robot. I don't think Emilia Perez or Wicked should have been in this. We could have definitely dropped them off and put in The Substance and Challengers. I guess Dune 2 was ineligible because they used something else from another movie in the score. I think it was actually from Dune 1. But whatever. Dune 2 is still a great score and probably deserved to be here over The Wild Robot. So I would cut like probably the bottom three out and bring in different ones. So with The Brutalist winning, that's fine. But you cannot sit here and tell me the score is not brilliant in Challengers and in The Substance. They really pull the movies together.
You're still talking about Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross?
Yep. I'm still talking about them. No, I was just talking about the original score, sir.
Oh, yeah. That's what I mean, because they did Challengers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because we looked it up last week.
Yeah, that's right. They're mad. I'm mad.
And I don't know who did The Substance, but it kind of reminds me of something like Trent Reznor.
Yeah, it's very, it has that vibe to it, for sure. Don't you know? That's my shit, bro.
That is your jam.
That's my jam, bro. Music original song, winner was El Mal from Emilia Perez.
Oh, that's right.
We knew that I was going to win. And that's honestly, it is one of the best parts of the movie. I will say that. So,
it's a musical, isn't it?
Yeah.
Anyway,
remember, Penis to Vagina.
I never watched the movie.
You didn't see? All right.
Because you told me not to.
I'm going to show you. I'm going to send you that clip later. So when she's inquiring about his sex change, they sing a song. It goes, man to woman, woman to man, from penis to vagina. That's a real song in the movie.
Wow.
You would think it was like an SNL skit.
Yeah.
Especially like the way it's done in the pro. I'm going to send you that clip. You're going to be like, I see why people didn't fuck with this shit, bro. I was like, bro.
Wow.
So when I first watched it, I was like, I feel like I'm hearing this wrong. And I'm like, no, that's what the fuck they're saying. I'm like, wow. This isn't a joke. Okay. But nominees were The Journey from Diane Warren, who's been nominated a million times.
Oh, yeah.
She's number one.
She's been writing songs forever.
Forever,
she?
Bro.
Because did she write I Don't Want to Miss a Thing?
Yeah.
From Armageddon?
Yeah. Did she?
Maybe.
Did she write that for Aerosmith?
I think so.
That's kind of dope, because you know I love that song.
Do you love that song?
I fucking love that song, dude. I know you hate it, but I love it.
Okay,
if she wrote that, she just went up in my book. But I think she's had like 14 or something Oscar noms. It was lost all of them. Kind of sucks. Like a Bird from Sing Sing, Mi Camino from Emilia Perez, and Never Too Late from Elton John. My pick would have been Like a Bird from Sing Sing. Honestly, I don't.
Songwriter, Diane Warren.
Go ahead, Diane.
Man,
you wrote one of my favorite songs ever.
Wow.
It's a great song, bro. Come on.
From an even better film.
Listen, I grew up with Armageddon, bro. That's like, yo, you got to think. I was like six when it came out. So, like, I grew up with it, man.
That's
I remember
fair.
Seeing it in theaters and shit.
That's not fair. Lit. You were almost seven.
Bro, I was almost seven. And this day.
I guess that was like Ben Affleck's first.
That was kind of his coming out party as an actor.
It was his first, like, post Kevin Smith, post Good Will Hunting role,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah. It's crazy. It's a great film.
Yeah.
He
didn't want to miss a thing.
He didn't. We won't say it's a great film. But if you grew up with it, bro, if you were like.
It's Michael Bay's first great film.
Yeah. If you were.
Oh, no, he did Bad Boys before that.
You're right.
Shit. He did. Anyway.
I would take Bad Boys over Armageddon. But.
Yeah.
What you listen,
do?
if you were 6 to 12 when Armageddon came out, you probably fuck with it to a degree.
Yeah.
All right. Best picture. We all know fucking Anora won. It won everything. And I'm not mad at this win because, like we said, this is a win for movies. This is a win for cinema.
And it's a win for Sean Baker, too.
It is a huge win.
Because he swept every category he was nominated in.
He swept. That man brought the big broom. He brought the push broom. He brought the push broom, and he brought the fucking shopping cart to that Haley had
Oh, my God.
Florida project so he could bring his Oscars in because he couldn't carry all of them.
Yeah, because he was sitting next to the dude, the Armenian dude.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
My man, Karen Cooligan.
Yeah, and he was carrying his Oscars up at the end.
Yep. What I did love was, you know, he was sitting with the whole cast. When he won shit, they got so hype for him. Like, yeah. The dude who threw up in the car, yeah. He jumped up like they scored a touchdown, bro. He was like, Sean! I was like, Sean, keep putting this guy in your movies, because this guy is great. I loved him. He was funny as hell. He was like, she's just a little girl. She don't fight like one. I was like, these dudes, that's what I'm like. Everyone was talking about Mikey Madison. I'm like, to me, those guys made the movie.
Yeah, even I forget his name, the Armenian dude from...
Oh, he was incredible.
Yeah.
From Tangerine?
Yeah, from Tangerine,
he was incredible.
Yes.
Karen Cooligan.
Yeah, he was the best part of the movie for me.
Dude, I'm like, he could have got a Best Supporting Nom, and I would have been happy with that.
Yeah.
But the nominees were The Brutalist, A Complete Unknown, Conclave, Dune 2, Emilia Perez, I'm Still Here, Nickel Boys, The Substance, and Wicked. This is a pretty decent slate of Best Picture noms. So yeah. I don't love all of them. Anora's good. I'm glad Anora won over Emilia Perez. I'll tell you that. Anora wouldn't have been my pick, actually, when I was kind of ranking these. Anora kind of felt like 6 or 7 when I was
really?
Like, how
did those 10?
Yeah, I was like, how did that happen? But I was like, if you're asking me my favorites of here, if I was picking a winner, I'm picking The Brutalist because I think The Brutalist feels like a good Best Picture winner. It's a movie about the American dream. You don't get them every year anymore. It's got great performances. It takes big risks. We don't get these long epics anymore. And I love that he had balls with it.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, it just, Anora just caught so much steam. I don't know.
I don't know what happened. So just really quick, because I know you a little bit and I know your taste.
Mm-hmm.
Do you like big epic films because you're a David Lean fan?
I think he definitely helped grow that love of them.
Yeah.
You know, between Dr. Zhivago and Lawrence of Arabia.
Yeah. And Bridge on the
River
Kwai.
Bridge on the River Kwai, that's pretty long. That's like 250.
Yeah. So do you think, like, any film that tries to reach for, like, that David Lean-esque,
it is a David Lean-esque epicness of it, too. Yeah. It definitely is.
Because anything, when you tell me it has an intermission, I'm like, that reminds me of.
Yep.
Hmm.
I love, I do like when dudes swing for the fence like that.
Yeah.
Like, I like the Killers last year.
Oh, yeah, Killers of the Flower Moon, yeah.
That was 3.5 or 3.15, something like that.
But you're a big Scorsese fan.
I was Scorsese
fan. So it's kind of like, Scorsese being Scorsese is different than, I think.
Yeah, than some random guy like Brady Corbet.
Yeah. And I hate to say that because I don't want to lessen
Brady. I mean, Brady hasn't earned his rep yet.
Yeah.
You know, Scorsese has been in the game for, what,
50 years? Some years,
55?
Yeah.
55? Like, yeah. Like,
he started out as, like, helping out with the filming of Woodstock.
Yeah.
So, so he's been around
long
at
time.
Least 56 years doing stuff in film.
Yeah. And we know we can trust Scorsese with certain things.
Yeah.
Brady, we don't know that from you.
Yeah.
Now we take a step closer.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? So, I think that was who I would have picked, but I would have been happy with Conclave. Of course I would have been happy with The Substance.
Well, naturally.
I mean, I would have been happy with Wicked. And I'm sure Dune 2 would have been happy.
Yeah, yeah.
Truthfully, Dune 2 probably... Dune 2 probably deserved to win, honestly, if we're being real.
Yeah.
Like,
did it win the year? Was it nominated for the first one?
Because
I know it was nominated for some things when it, the first one came out.
I want to say yes, but I don't know if I can remember. I think it was, but I do not remember. Honestly, I wouldn't have been mad at most of these. I didn't really like Nickel Boys. I didn't really like Complete Unknown. And Emilia Perez, no. I would have been fine with anything
those,
else.
So those would have been like 8, 9, and 10
yeah.
in your list.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, those would have been at the bottom for sure. Because, I'm like, yo, low key, when I was like ranking them up, I was like, Emilia Perez would not be last. I was like, it wouldn't be last. I was like, it wouldn't. Last for me would have to be a complete unknown.
Wow.
That shit was just, bro, I was like nosing it. And I was like, this shit is boring. I was like, Chalamet, you're killing it. And every time he wasn't on the screen, I was getting real bored.
Well, James Mangold, I think, needed a win after the last Indiana Jones movie from last year. Yeah. And what was it, The Dial of Destiny?
Yeah, because he flopped heavy on that shit.
And it's just kind of like, I don't think it was him.
Yeah.
It was the source material, you know, the writing, probably the producers. Yeah, the timing.
Timing just wasn't there. There was no demand for it. Nobody wanted another indie.
And except for the studio, so he probably had to cave to the demands of the studio. Because look, this dude did The Wolverine and Logan.
Yeah, two of the best fucking...
Ford versus Ferrari and Walk the Line.
Yo, Ford versus Ferrari.
I mean, come on.
Fire. Yeah, I'm like, he's a great director.
Yeah, two of the best superhero films and two... I'm sorry. Ford vs. Ferrari isn't a musical film. I was going to say two of the best musical films, but no. Walk the Line.
Racing, Walk the Line.
Oh, yeah. Ford vs. Ferrari is incredible.
Did he do an X-Men movie?
He did Logan and the Wolverine.
Or not X-Men. What the fuck am I thinking of that he... Nah, fuck it.
I'm going to check it out here.
But Anora winning, though, it's huge for cinema. It's a good day. Indie films getting this kind of love. It's a good day when The Substance is up for Best Picture, you know?
Yeah, that is true.
That's a good day.
How much was The Substance? How much did that cost?
I think that was like around 30. That was kind of expensive. Let's find out real quick. I'll look at that.
Oh, he did Girl Interrupted?
Yes! That's what he did. Banging.
310 to Yuma?
That's another good one.
Copland?
I never watched Copland.
Kate and Leopold, which would have been his first Hugh Jackman.
Oh, no, it was only $18 million.
Oh, yeah, see, that's not
cheap.
Wow. Oh,
damn, they stressed some dollars this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, he got a little nice little filmography on him. But he didn't do, like, one of the X-Men movies, like, with all of them?
No, it's just The Wolverine and Logan.
Just Wolverine and Logan.
And they were two of the best.
And First Class was with Bryan Singer?
No. First Class was Matthew
Vaughn. Matt Vaughn.
Because Bryan Singer did the first two, X-Men and X2. Then it was Brett Ratner. And then First Class is Matthew Vaughn. And then Bryan Singer did Days, Future Past, and Apocalypse.
Okay. Yeah. Good. That's it. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Production design. The winner was Wicked, who I loved the production design of that. I'm cool with that. Brutalist was non. Conclave, Dune 2, Nosferatu. All great production designs in all of these movies. Any of them could have won, and can't argue too much. But Wicked was a big feat.
I do love what Conan said about Wicked. He's like, Wicked is a film... This is me paraphrasing. You know, it's a film for people who watched The Wizard of Oz and afterwards thought, I wonder where these lesser-known characters went to college.
That's funny as hell.
I
did say it was the Wizard of Oz's version of Harry Potter.
Yeah, that's really what it is.
It's very Hogwarts-like.
Or that Netflix movie, like The School of Good and Evil.
Never watched it.
It's
pretty good.
Yeah, Paul Feig directed it, the guy who did Bridesmaids.
Bridesmaids, a lovely movie.
Yeah. It's pretty good. There's a lot of great people in it. Like Michelle Yeoh's in it.
Oh, she's a good
Charlize Theron is in it.
She's also Wicked. Oh, she's Charlize. You know, I don't like her.
Oh, yeah. Michelle Yeoh is in Wicked.
Yeah.
Right.
She's that bitch, man.
Yeah. Oh, and Jeff Goldblum was so good in it.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah.
Michelle Yeoh's been having a beast mode, like,
the past couple of years.
Resurgence? Yeah.
Ever since.
She's in a lot of stuff lately.
Ever since Star Trek Discovery, when they started that in, like, 17. She was like their captain for like a few episodes, then they killed her off. And then they brought her back as like a mirror universe version of her. But
and then she did Crazy Rich Asians.
Yeah, it was around that same time. And then
Everything Everywhere just whew.
Yeah.
That was like Everything Everywhere gets like it's hard to call it an indie just because I'm like it feels monumental.
It
feels even though it is an indie,
yeah.
That thing feels like it feels like $100+ million.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It feels like a fucking big budget, like DC type of movie or something. Because you know?
We were talking about it before. It might have been in one of our Lost episodes. Mm-hmm. But about how those, like Marvel and DC, need to take note as to how to do the multiverse on a budget.
On a budget, for real.
Because like, it's like 1/10 maybe of like what their films are. Maybe even like let me see, 1/10. I guess 1/10, mm-hmm. depending on the film.
Yeah. And some of these things are $300 million now. I'm like,
Jesus. Yeah, so it's like you can get the same kind of gravitas, just get great actors.
Yeah.
Because if they're acting in a film that they're going to win awards with, you know they're going to get paid more
money. And I'm like, I think that worked. He's like, how do you even pitch a fucking movie like Everything Everywhere to a lead? Like, Michelle Yeoh, I read the script, was like,
huh?
What the hell is this? I'll do it. You know what I mean? Fuck it. Like, trust the director. You know what I mean?
That actually reminds me.
Sound. Winter was Dune 2. I'm glad that won.
Yeah. As it was written.
As it was written, yes. Complete Unknown. Millie Perez. Wicked and the Wild Robot. I guess the sound was good in all of those. Dune was, to me, always the clear front, you know, runner. So, whatever. But, VFX. The winner, Dune 2.
And, you know, I was impressed that Better Man was up for special effects.
Was it up? Yeah. Well, dude, that monkey. I told you.
Yeah, I know.
It's a $120 million movie.
I know. That's what was crazy. I'm like, they had like Dune, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes,
Alien Romulus,
which was good. I loved that movie.
I loved it. I thought it was great.
And even though that dude that plays that android,
David Johnson,
he has Mikey Madison's eyelids.
He does.
He's a good actor, though.
He is good.
I've seen him in a couple other things.
He won Best Newcomer at the BAFTA.
But he's been acting for years.
Yeah, he's been around. I know he did some period piece, right?
Yeah, I think he did this Agatha Christie miniseries mm-hmm. on BritBox.
Yeah, and he's in a really good movie called Rye Lane on Hulu. You would like it. It's a cool little love story. He's good in it. But yeah, we just said all the fucking noms.
I'm sorry.
Wicked was there too.
Oh yeah, so Wicked would have to be.
I love Better Man, and I love the VFX in it. And Kingdom, I can't lie, the monkeys are fucking good. But there's three monkey movies in here: Wicked, Kingdom, and Better Man.
Yeah, so, you're right.
You can't pick all these monkey movies.
Yeah.
And Alien, the VFX fall off for me at the end of it.
And Alien.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Dune 2 is the obvious winner.
Yeah.
That shit looks. Come on, sandworms. Adapted screenplay.
Wait, how about the sandworm playing?
Playing the thing? That was funny as hell. That was cool. I'm glad they honored Dune.
Yes.
You know, and, you know, had some fun with it. Writing, adapted screenplay. The winner was Conclave. We all knew that was happening. Yeah. Deserved it. Nominees were Complete Unknown, Amelia Perez, Nickel Boys, and Sing Sing. It's crazy because I don't really love this category as far as the movies themselves, except Conclave. So I, by far, would be Conclave or Sing Sing for me. But Conclave was incredible, so no objections. This was this category got interesting. Last one, writing original screenplay. The winner was Anora, which I knew would win. But this was a good category. You had The Brutalist, A Real Pain, September 5, and The Substance. I did pick Anora, but I thought Real Pain could win.
I was going to say, because I keep hearing about how great Jesse Eisenberg did writing.
He directed it too. And directed it.
Yeah.
He killed it. And I'm like, you got Kieran Culkin and Oscar.
Yeah, so yeah. Like, that's the only reason he's going to have four kids.
Yeah, that was so funny. And he cussed live. I loved it. I was like, oh. Like, when me care about a little fuck in there.
You know me.
Yeah, you know me.
That gossipy bitch. You know me.
But I thought Real Pain was threatening it. The Brutalist is a great screenplay. A Real Pain is a good screenplay. The Substance is obviously a good screenplay. If I was picking these, I would pick The Substance. What Coralie Farjan was able to do with such little dialogue, that I think takes more skill than writing a bunch of snappy dialogue.
Yeah, because
same thing with Flo. Like, I was so impressed that Flo grabbed me with zero fucking words.
Yeah.
You know, all I'm hearing is animal fucking noises. You know, literally, and I'm like,
wow,
I'm so into this. Yeah, The Substance.
You're into animal fucking noises.
Yep, I love it. I ain't mad at Nora 1. I'm happy as shit for Sean Baker. You know, like I said, at the end of the day, a good thing came out of this. Baker winning all these Oscars is so good for indie films. We'll get more of them. I'm an indie guy. You know what I'm saying? I like studio films. I like the blockbusters too. But I'm an indie guy at the end of the day, man. Y'all know I'm always on the indie side. But Mikey Madison, congratulations.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's hope she lives up to it.
You better.
And that's it's kind of like at the end of Saving Private Ryan when
you better do something good. Yeah, we went through all this goddamn shit. Yes, for sure, bro. Yeah. And Mikey, you better get nominated for your next movie.
Yeah.
Because,
I mean, honestly, you never know because it's been 22 years for Adrian Brody.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, so, and it's crazy because
I'm surprised he wasn't nominated for Predators.
Yeah, hey, he could have got a supporting nom for Budapest, Grand Budapest.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He was good in there.
Well, see, all three of them were like leads, though, in a way.
I'm
sorry, Grand Budapest. I was thinking Darjeeling. I was thinking Darjeeling.
Now, they're all, he could have, honestly, Jason Schwartzman should have got a supporting actor nom.
Yeah. Especially for Hotel Chevalier, should have been like best short film that year.
Right? Yeah. Was it not in short film that year?
I don't know because I never really heard about it. I saw it. I don't know if it's still there. There used to be a tiny art house theater in Millersville, The Point of View. And that's where I saw the Darjeeling Limited when it came out.
Oh, nice.
And they just showed that short film before the movie.
Nice.
Yeah.
It is dope because like, I have the
you're right, Budapest. Blu-ray. I'm sorry.
I have the Blu-ray for Darjeeling, and like it does show it before the movie.
Good. Cool.
But yeah, so yeah, it was a cool show. You know, a lot of takeaways. I was mad about Demi. It kind of ruined my night. I won't lie.
At least it was towards the end.
Yeah, but fuck, I knew. No, when Baker won editing, I knew.
Really?
Yeah, I knew. I was like Demi might. I was like, Sean Baker is winning everything. They're just going to throw the kitchen sink at Nora.
I think my big problem with like their acceptance speeches, because Mikey Madison's and at least one of his.
Talking about sex workers?
Yeah. They're like, I'd like to acknowledge sex workers.
Like, I thought it was funny.
It just sounds weird. You know what I mean?
It does sound weird.
It's like, wait, what? It would be, if it was in context to like, you know, those who have no other options. Uh-huh. You know, those, whatever. Because I know his films that I've seen, they've all been about sex workers.
They're all about sex workers.
And it's like, okay, so now you finally have a bigger platform to say something important. You're like, yay, sex workers.
At least he waited until like the third speech.
Yeah, that's true.
Listen, he ran out of shit to say.
Yeah,
he's like, bro, I didn't expect to come up here four fucking times, dude. Five fucking times.
I didn't even plan on one.
Yeah, right. He's like, shit.
I should have been up here for Red Rocket.
Real shit. He's like, I would have had a lot to say. Simon Rex should have been up there.
Yeah, Simon Rex should have been.
He killed him, man.
He did.
But let's talk about Gene for a quick second.
All right, Gene Hackman.
Hackman.
Well, we did a little bit last week, but
yeah.
So how do you feel not talking about the circumstances, but just the fact that he passed, how do you feel about his legacy?
I think it's one of the best. It's gotta be. And Hackman kinda, without Hackman, I'll tell you what, we wouldn't have a lot of guys. We have Denzel did Crimson Tide solely so he could say he did a movie with Gene Hackman.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Will Smith did Enemy of the State solely so he can say he did a movie with Gene Hackman. Like, he had that kind of reach and influence. So I'm like, you got some of the biggest names ever who looked up to him.
Yeah.
So he was kind of like an actor's actor, kind of like Stanley Kubrick's a director's director.
Yes. Yeah.
So,
or like Cream is like a band's
band. It's a band's band.
And
yeah.
The Velvet Underground.
Yeah,
a band's
that's
band.
A band's
yes.
band. So yeah. I would say that Gene Hackman falls into that category. But I mean, dude, I think he won the Oscar for French Connection. He did. And it was well deserved. Like, when I saw that role, I was like, heck, man. I was like, dang, you're going stupid.
Yeah.
And what I saw, and then later in life, or not later in life, I saw French Connection after this, but
yeah.
Later in life for him.
Yeah.
Coming and doing something like Royal Tenenbaums.
Oh,
I never think he would do that because he played, for the most part, it's very tough, you know, kind of kind of scary roles early on, but like towards the 90s and 2000s, you know, he did like the Birdcage and he would do some funnier fun stuff.
Yeah.
And I love that he had that side of him too. It just showed a big range.
Dude, your guy freaked him.
Oh, he's the fucking man,
dude. I can't believe it.
He's the man.
Sorry, I was looking up the French Connection.
And you're like, you're probably like, yo, he did a bunch of shit.
Because I was like, didn't he do The Exorcist? I'm looking at him like, To Live and Die in L.A.?
Yes, sir. Cruising.
Yeah, like, what the?
Bro.
Wow.
He did it, dude. Sorcerer. Like, if you ever, that's a good movie. There's another one I'm thinking of that he did, and I'm just drawing a blank that's really good.
It looks like all of them are really
good. Yeah, he's just great. Like, for real, for real.
Yeah, Sorcerer, Cruising. Killer Joe.
Did he direct Killer Joe?
I don't know. Because sometimes it just comes up even if they produce it. No, he directed it.
Oh, nice. I like Killer Joe.
And he co-wrote the screenplay.
Yeah, I like Killer Joe.
Wow.
That's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a beast, man. He's a beast. But Hackman, man. And then, like we were talking about last week, I think, truthfully, I'm going to say the most important thing he did for cinema was playing Lex Luthor.
Oh, yes, yes. Especially modern cinema, which is weird, since his version of Lex Luthor was in 78.
It's almost 50 years old.
Yeah, man. Yeah, and it's his influence in balancing the humor and the drama and the... I like the word gravitas. I think I said it earlier too, but you know, of that character, because he made Lex Luthor more than just a cartoon villain.
He did. He gave him swag and style.
Yeah, he did. Yes.
And he made a bald guy back then have swag and style.
Yes, yes.
Which, you know, back then people didn't really give bald dudes, like, they were never cool.
No, not that unless they were you're losers. Yul
Brynner. Yeah. I'm like, not that they were losers or anything, but like the cool guy was never the bald guy. And I'm like, let's keep it real. Lex Luthor's way cooler than Clark Kent.
Oh, yeah.
In this movie, at least.
Yeah.
And I love Christopher Reeves in it, but I'd rather hang out with Lex Luthor.
Yeah.
You know what
well, that's because Valerie Perrin was with him.
Well, yeah, well, that helps.
Man. I'm sorry, Miss Tessmacher.
Yeah.
Miss Tessmacher!
You know, he's the man. He was the man in that, though. He really shined in that role.
And look, Ned Beatty, I think he and Ned Beatty had a good chemistry that showed their the dynamic of Lex and Otis.
Yeah.
And that's influenced every iteration of Lex Luthor and Otis after that.
Yeah, I mean, Palpatine and Vader.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Some dudes like that, Batman and Robin, you know, fucking any duo like that. You know, it's cause Superman's like what the oldest fucking comic book ever.
Yeah, he was the first
like official comic book
superhero. Comic book. Yeah, yeah.
What is that like 30 something?
38. It was June 1938 is the cover date, so it was like April.
Man, that's 1938. That's crazy.
Yeah,
this shit's almost 100 years old. Yeah. We're getting close to 100 years for this dude. So you can't sit here and tell me that Superman hasn't had an influence throughout all forms of media for the last almost 100 years. So I mean I think Superman and Batman are probably like two of the most influential heroes ever, even more than maybe any Marvel hero, just because they're classic household names. How many Superman Batman shirts you see people wearing all the time? All the time. So but you don't get a great Superman's not as great without Lex
and
Hackman, man, like we said.
You need a great villain to make the hero great.
He brought it out, and he had no blueprint to work with.
No, there was like a Superman serial, like a chapter play in 1950 that had Lex Luthor in it, but...
That ain't enough.
No, yeah, I know. And, you know, they had the comics and everything, but when you're doing, like, something... Like what Richard Donner was doing.
Yeah.
And I think it says a lot about Richard Donner also.
Oh, my God.
Because, like, what he was able to do with, like, because he was still kind of an unproven director. Because he directed TV shows before that, but he'd done The Omen.
Right before. Which is kind of nuts.
Yeah, because that's Gregory Peck.
Yeah.
So he did The Omen, and then it's, like, Superman the movie, and you have Brando, and you have Hackman.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's two like
heavyweights.
Yeah, like, huh?
You're like, huh? And then.
Oh, and even like Terrence Stamp is in it?
Terrence Stamp, yeah.
Yeah.
And then, man, he's been around. And then you turn around and do something like the Goonies.
Yeah.
And then you make Lethal Weapon 1 and 2.
Yeah.
Bro, Lethal Weapon 2 is one of the best action movies ever. So by then, I think we knew what that man could do. But, I mean, Hackman, dude, he, you know, they say he was a little hard to work with at times, but.
But after you've gotten to that point.
Like, think about Unforgiven, bro. He plays that role. The terror in that character is all throughout it, but it all lies in the subtleties of the performance. He's not this whip crack, well, eventually, but not throughout the movie. He's not just beating dudes up and no, he's that polite evil.
Yeah.
And you're like, that's scarier.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You're like, what the fuck is this guy going to do if he finds this? Because you just don't know.
Yeah.
And he plays that role so well. And when he kills Morgan Freeman, you're like, bro. But the man, like, you know, man, Clint got to come handle business.
Oh, yes,
you know
what I'm saying?
But, man, he kills it in that movie. And I was just like, when I first saw it, I was like, Hackman's got to be one of the scariest motherfuckers ever. I would be scared of this dude.
Yeah.
Like, he's a big dude. He's fucking, like, him and the French Connection. I'm like, if this cop was chasing me, I'm like, shit, if he catches me, I'm fucked, bro. I'm like, he's gonna go crazy on me, bro. I mean, he's gonna go stupid. But he is one of the greats, man. And like, I kind of wish he wouldn't retire so early because he did.
It was like almost right after Tenenbaums, right?
He's been gone for 20 plus years.
Yeah.
And he was only like 68 in Tenenbaums. I'm like, bro, you could have still had another 10 hard years of doing roles.
Yeah.
But Tenenbaums was. For me, that was that's the role.
Yeah, that's his peak season.
It is. He made it. It's hard to call that one, dude. Because Mississippi Burning's great.
Even in the Birdcage. It sounds weird, but.
He's great.
He is. Yeah.
And that was where he really started to show I can do a lot of other different
stuff. Yeah, I can do comedy.
Comedy well. I can take a whole comedy role. Like,
yeah, I can go head to head with Robin Williams.
It's really hard. Nathan Lane. Yeah, it's really hard to call a peak season for him. It's like,
yeah.
You won an Oscar for French Connection. You're really known for Lex Luthor.
I think he was in the Poseidon Adventure, too.
Yeah, like, he's, everyone would say a different answer from him.
Yeah.
Like, so it's hard to call a peak season for him. If you're asking me on a personal level, this, I would probably call a peak season for him. Royal Tenenbaums. He's funny as shit. He's a dickhead.
Yeah.
And you can't help but love him.
Yeah.
You got a character written that well and an actor who can execute that. That's money and magic right there. And it sucks him and Weston get along, but y'all made magic together.
Yeah, I think we talked about it before. It's got to be like a Burt Reynolds
and PTSD.
PTSD. That's
what Burt Reynolds had after working with the kid.
And then it's like, wait, this is the best moment of my career.
I'm glad before he died, he did acknowledge that.
Yeah.
It was good, and he did make him look good. I was like, yeah, quit hating, Bert. It's been like 30 years. Let it go.
Yeah, he was the best part of that film.
He was. I'm like,
the father
figure. Julianne Moore, like, they fucking murdered. I mean, everyone. But he is definitely,
he's the glue.
He's the glue. He's the patriarch that, you know, we needed.
And that's royal.
Yeah, that's also royal.
Believe it or not, even though they all hated him.
Yeah, they hated him, and they all loved Jack. It was opposite. With how the people felt about him, but he was still necessary and loved and needed all at the same time.
Because he ended up bringing them all together because of the hatred of him.
Yep, because of the hatred of him.
And I just remember him biting down on that wooden spoon.
Yep. Oh my God, this guy. Pagoda helped me.
Yeah. he and Pagoda.
They had good chemistry too.
They did.
You know what? He's just good with like sidekicks.
He is.
You know,
he's
just a good sidekick guy.
I think it's and Pagoda wasn't really an actor. And Bill Murray had said something in an interview this week how there was an actor on that set that he would always get pissed off at because they would always flub their lines. It might have been him.
It probably was.
And that's
not a real actor.
Yeah. No. And that's terrible. But the thing is, on screen, you don't see it.
You don't see it. No.
You don't see the frustration. You don't see anything. You see, like, a mutual respect and a love.
Yep.
And I think that does say a lot about
Yeah, I'm like, you can work with a guy that well that doesn't act like that stuff. Yeah. Especially with heavyweight, like, acting, bro. I'm like, hell, y'all, you did better with Pagoda than than Gary Oldman did with Keanu Reeves. Gary Oldman's like, I can't work with this. I'm like, you got to tone your acting down so this can work. But, Gene, man, it's sad he's gone. It sucks. He's a legend.
Yes.
He influenced a lot of actors. You know, he had a good long career, played a lot of different fun roles, a lot of heavy roles, but a lot of fun fatherly roles too. Like in The Firm, you know, he does play an odd fatherly role to Tom Cruise's character and even his wife in a weird way in the film. The Firm is an interesting film. It's an interesting hacking film.
Was he in some film with Shia LaBeouf or am I going crazy?
He might have been.
I might just be thinking of Enemy of the State, but
that's Will Smith.
Yeah, because that's before.
It wouldn't be Eagle Eye, is it?
Maybe. Is that Eagle Eye?
Could be. I'm trying to remember what happened.
Probably not.
No, he would have been retired by then, bro.
Yeah, he probably would have, yeah. That's terrible. So who was in Eagle Eye with him?
I haven't seen Eagle Eye since like 2008.
Who was in this damn movie? Ooh, Billy Bob Thornton.
Billy B.
Anthony Mackie.
Anthony Mackie.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what I was thinking.
Rosario in there, right?
Yeah, Rosario Dawson. Yeah, wow.
I'm trying to remember who's in it. I haven't seen that shit forever.
Wow. Wow. Anyway.
It ain't that great.
I must have been thinking of Enemy of the State then. Of course, you know, Shia LaBeouf and Will Smith, you can confuse them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because they look so much alike.
They look alike and do the same thing.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
But, yeah, man, so RIP to Hackman, you know, he'll be missed.
Dude, I finished Superman 4 the other day. Oh, remember I was starting to watch it last week?
It was long, huh? No, it was great, huh?
Yeah, believe it or not, it's better.
It's better now?
It's better now because as bad as it is, it's like we lost the two main actors now. Mm-hmm. And you can see what each one brought to the role, even in the worst Superman.
In the worst one, yeah.
Like they still put their all into it, even though they're probably getting paid less because it was 87 and it was Canon film.
Yeah.
It wasn't even Warner Brothers at that point. Make it, you know? And it's like, oh my God.
Oh God.
And it's just kind of like, you can tell they did it because they love the characters, not for the money.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And I think Christopher Reeve co-wrote the script, so it was a little more personal. And God, it was terrible. But, but seeing Hackman as Lex Luthor with John Cryer as his nephew.
That's crazy.
And knowing John Cryer then went on to play Lex Luthor in the Supergirl TV show and was influenced by Gene Hackman, obviously, because he worked with him. You know, it's like, it's kind of cool to see that influence in the character later on by someone who worked with him when he was that character.
That's dope, man.
Yeah, so it's just kind of like, wow.
Superman
4. Oh, God. I do not recommend it unless you're a completist.
You're just like, I got to see it all. Yeah. See it all.
If you're not Superman 1, Superman 2, the Donner Cut, Superman sure. Returns,
yeah.
Great. But Superman 3 and 4, blah, blah, blah. And that's nothing against Richard Pryor.
Richard Pryor.
But it, like, oh, that's terrible.
Yeah, it is what it is.
Bro. Yeah.
But yeah, guys, make sure you like and subscribe so we can talk about the Oscars, the winners, the losers. I know some of y'all are going to be mad at what I said about Mikey Madison. I don't care. Tell me. And let us know what you think about Gene. What's your favorite Hackman role? What do you think his defining role is? I would say it's probably the French Connection. I'm going to say it's French Connection. He won an Oscar for it.
Yeah.
So fuck it.
And honestly, he would have been like 39 or 40. He was probably acting for like 20 some years before that.
Yeah, he's already
so that is kind of, that could have been, yeah, because everything else is based off of that.
Yeah, it's the cherry off.
Yeah.
That, yeah. So, yeah.
Wow.
All right, guys, well, I'm Dom.
I'm Jamie.
That's correct.